Here, we always trust what we feel and the tree we grew from. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Greetings, beloved ones, and welcome back to another episode of Central Faith Podcast, the podcast all about the art of coming home to your body. I am your guide, co-facilitator, space holder on this journey, LaVon Briggs, your hostess with the mostest, and I am holding space. Space for us to reintegrate our spirituality, sensuality, and sexuality. And I'm really excited about today's episode. It's one that I have been sitting on for a while. You know, I did some batch recordings last year, and I always tell my guests, this is going to come out when it comes out, honey. And so I love that because time is a construct, right? It's a fluid concept. Anytime a message is going to resonate and it's ongoing, it doesn't matter when you get it. As long as when you get it, you can apply it. You feel me? Which is why even though we're no longer doing live proverbial experiences over on Instagram, I still tell people, go to the archives, honey. Scroll down the page and stop randomly and get a not so random message. Because that's how spirit works. Spirit always knows what we need, and spirit will use anything, anyone, anytime, anywhere, any place to get a message to you. And I'm so grateful that that's how deeply we are loved. And there were a lot of people that needed to be reminded about the Proverbial Experience archives this week, because these preachers, if I can even call them that, have been out here pontificating and waxing philosophical in these ministerial streets with some tomfoolery. Y'all got to stop listening to preachers who hate themselves, beloved. You can be a Christian and honor your ancestors. In fact, if you are a Christian, you honor an ancestor. How about that? Christians quite literally center their faith on an ancestor. His name is Jesus. And so I think you get to take up space in your faith journey, release and shed the things that no longer serve you, go inward and reflect on what helps you to feel closer to God. And as long as you ain't hurting nobody, honey, do that thing. I am so grateful for this season in my life where my body and the divine timing of my life has forced me to shut it down. I'm on day two of my cycle. And if you know me, or if you've heard me talk about my cycle before, usually the first 2 days I'm in the house. Now, yesterday, day one, I was able to get to the gym with Christopher. Shout out to At The Black Zeus, aka Prodigious Training. And I rocked that workout, y'all. I ain't even gonna hold you. I was like, oh, get it, girl, body, yaddy, yaddy. But today, with the flow and the cramps and the energy levels and the recovering from travel, right? The day-to-day of just being in this world with all this shit going on. My body needed rest. And so I told myself that I was going to honor my energetic levels and capacity and show up and create when I was inspired. And that's one way that we live out our sensual faith, is not forcing ourselves to do things like capitalism seduces us to do, right? Compels us to do. Well, if you don't show up, if you don't show out, you know, the early bird gets the worm, and you know, out of sight, out of mind. Like, that's all a lack mentality, baby. Abundance says you are worthy right where you are to receive all of the prosperous blessings that are yours by your divine birthright. Capital T, peace, prosperity, success, joy, connection to your ancestors, connection to the divine, connection to your community, connection to your higher self. And so, as we are embracing the month of May, welcome to May. Happy birthday, Geminis, Taurus folk, all y'all. We got this full flower moon in Scorpio on May 5th. We got International Masturbation Day. We got Mother's Day. We got that holiday at the end of the month where you probably go into the beach and it's like the quote unquote official start of summer. Like, everything in the cosmos is telling, oh, there's a lunar eclipse this week. Okay. Eclipses are literally times to be like, chill the fuck out. and lean into what's going on with Mother Earth, the blooms, the buds, the blossoms, right? You're blooming and you're blossoming and you're budding and all at the same damn time. And that's okay. I don't know about y'all, but my relationships have been going through. I remember when I was in elementary school, one of my teachers had a bulletin board and it was all about the seasons. And when spring came around, it said, April showers bring May flowers. And we ain't talking about the fucking Mayflower, like the colonizers. I wonder if that's connected. Anywho, the point is, now my 40-year-old self hears April showers bring May flowers. And as I reflect on the April that I had, which is why I have been so quiet on social media and with the podcast and Central Faith Academy and. That there were a lot of emotional, energetic, spiritual showers. I mean, downpours, torrential downpours that I needed to take cover from, that I needed to process through, that I needed to wring out from my spirit and dry off from psychically. And now that I have processed, that I have prayed, purged, grieved, journaled, cried, kicked, wailed, cussed, therapied, right? Took all the spiritual baths, honey. Herbs, Bruja Bantan, you name it, okay? I'm just starting to feel like I'm coming up for air. I'm just starting to feel like I can lean into the community that has always been there, but maybe I have been approaching it. Not approaching, I don't like that word, but there are people who surround me with love. And there are people who can love me the way I want to be loved, who I am just now recognizing are my lovers. You know what I'm saying? I've been saying this a lot, that I saw this post on social media that you have not yet met all the people who are going to love you and love you well. And I have just started taking that to heart. I think I was so deeply holding on to these relationships I thought I was supposed to have and that I had been, you know, investing in for the past 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, that I'm like, surely this person is meant to be in my life forever. Mm-mm. And the fact of the matter is, once I stopped grasping onto people who made it clear that they could be okay with or without me, I'm like, nah, I'm cool. Trust me, it's not just in my sexual romantic relationships where I'm like, you know, if you got to choose between me and somebody else, don't choose me. I want reciprocity in all of my relationships, sexually romantic, non-sexually romantic, platonic, spiritual, biological, or otherwise. Okay. And so I'm honoring those feelings and honoring the readings, because your girl got astrology and tarot and Ifa divinations done, because we got tools. I'ma use them. How you like that? To these preachers out here calling African spiritualism demonic. Please stop the madness. And that's why I am really thrilled to share space with today's guest, Thea Monier. Our conversation is close to an hour, so I actually want to get into it fairly quickly. But the sacred text that I read today is from Thea Monier's book, Blood and Bahareke. And she explains this in the interview, but Bahareke means like mist, like that morning dew, like the dew in the morning. Yes, gently rest upon my heart. So when she says, here, we always trust what we feel. You already know, honey, it's giving embodiment, it's giving intuition, it's giving trust your holy, sacred flesh. And she says, and the tree we grew from. Here, we always trust the tree we grew from. And when I think about that tree, I think about a great cloud of witnesses. I think about our ancestors, maternal and paternal. Because if you anything like me, if you just starting out on your ancestral veneration journey, honey, your mama side might be getting all the attention. Your daddy side over there like, hi, we know what that fool did. We going to deal with him on this side, but we need you, honey, baby. At least that was my story. And so in today's episode, there is so much of my paternal side exuding and emanating throughout this conversation. And I have been feeling so called to the land of Guyana, where my father was born and where my paternal people are from. And you can't see me, listeners, if you're a part of Central Faith Academy, Lavish Love, and you're watching the unedited video of me recording this podcast, you can see me. But as soon as I started talking about Guyana, I just got this huge smile on my face. And I'm starting to feel these chills through my shoulders, like my upper back and my right fingers, like the middle ring and pinky. And that tells me I'm trusting what I'm feeling, that I am being divinely guided and I'm on the right path. Y'all, trusting your body is trusting your spirit. I'm trying to tell you, like I done told you in Sensual Faith, the art of coming home to your body, huh? Which, by the way, I'm very excited to start the book study in Sensual Faith Academy. Sensual Faith Academy is my Patreon, y'all. It's where you get all the supplemental materials for the podcast, as well as bonus content material. And I see y'all. Thank y'all for your grace, because I did not post as much as I would have liked in the month of April. But April showers bring May flowers. So we were soaked, okay? We were dewy. And we didn't get mildewed, and now we're budding and blooming and blossoming and ready to come up for air and share all of the wisdom. So if you love to be in community with us, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, head on over to patreon.com/LaVonBriggs and join the tier that's right for you. There is the Sensual Faith tier, which is $10 a month. And again, all of the links and the supplemental materials for the podcast will be there. It also helps to support the podcast with administrative fees and things like that. And then there is the Lavish Love tier, which gets everything that's in the Sensual Faith tier, in addition to raw, unedited interviews, me doing intros and outros, audio essays, live access to roundtables, the book studies, replays of my new and full moon readings, which I do on Instagram Live for my subscribers. So tap in there as well. And you can also pledge way more than $10 or $25 a month if you would like to. So go ahead and tap in patreon.com/LaVonBriggs. So with all that happening, beloved ones, I want y'all to be mindful of your energetic levels, because at the end of the day, honey, baby, everybody's doing the best that they can. I see you. You're doing the best that you can. And with so many people waxing on and on about who you should be, what you should be doing, how you should be doing it, what you should look like, what you should weigh, who you should be fucking, who you can't be with, like, it's just, it's too much. And as folks of the African diaspora, I implore you, decolonize your Christianity, beloved. Because if I didn't decolonize my Christianity, I never would have sat down with a Babalawo for a reading, an Ifa reading. And for the uninitiated, a Babalawo is an Ifa priest, right? It's a man who has been initiated, who can read different spiritual tools and give you clarity, direction, guidance on your path, your journey, and your destiny. And so Ifa is a divination system that I trust. Every reading has been accurate and on point and exactly what I needed. And there are a lot of people who don't know anything about African spiritualism, but got something to say about it. But if you, beloved one, are sensing in your being that this is a path that you would like to journey down, I'm not telling you to submerge yourself in everything and study the Yoruba language. And I'm just saying, trust your instincts, because it's likely your ancestors talking to you, okay? Ancestor veneration is not evil. It is not demonic. To venerate is not to worship. To venerate means to honor, to give respect to. And even if we are going to talk about worship, Jesus never said, worship me. Jesus said, follow me. And a lot of Christians got it messed up. Black Christians in particular, but it's not our fault. That is the effects, the ongoing, horrific, horrifying effects of colonialism and colonization. But we getting free up in here, okay? So decolonize your Christianity. Reclaim your African spiritual base and practices, beloved. Because the fact of the matter is, I love this language that Thea Monnier gave us, which is Jesus was a Babalawo. I know that's going to push some of y'all's theology, right? because we were taught that he is our Lord and Savior, and that he was the lamb that was slain and all this other stuff. But using an African cosmological lens, what if Jesus was a Babalawo? What if Jesus was a priest, a teacher, a healer? Jesus was a priest, a teacher, and a healer. What am I talking about? Of course he was. And so I'm going to let Theomonye walk us through healing, motherhood, authenticity, embodiment, sovereignty. Whew. There's a word the church is not going to encourage you to embody. And just help us get and stay free. You feel me? Theomonye is a licensed therapist and Oya priestess in the Ifa tradition. Oya is the mother, the Orisha of wind, tornadoes, transformation. Ooh, when Oya comes through, honey, it's going to clear it out. Let it rain and clear it out. Okay, it's going to declutter. And there might be some shit strewn about, but you will be intact. And you'll know what to pick up to take with you for the journey. Theomonye is a licensed therapist and Oya priestess in the Ifa tradition, committed to creating healing opportunities to Black marginalized bodies through decolonization of joy, mental health, and pleasure. In addition to appearances on HBO, OWN, Fox Soul, and the Red Table Talks, she is the host of Shaping the Shift podcast, founder of Marley Ayo, and the Blacker the Brain, a mental health decolonizing campaign, conversation, and cohort, co-host of Them Black Mamas podcast, and co-creator of the Free Joy Experience. She currently serves as a contributor on a policy working group supporting the objectives of the 2021 U.S. COVID-19 Health Equity Task Force, and is the author of Murmurs of a Mad Woman and Blood and Bahareke. Recently, she has been featured in the New York Times and NPR discussing COVID-19, race, and mental health. Thea is a natural traveler and actively curates spaces for Black and Brown people to thrive throughout the diaspora. Her upcoming projects include creating healing and entrepreneurial opportunities for Black and Brown bodies in Central America and East Africa as hubs for a global practice of decolonizing wellness and entrepreneurship for Black and Brown bodies. Y'all. That is robust. Okay. That is a robust ass bio. And this is a robust ass woman. And I'm so grateful that I get to call her my friend and my sister and my kin, as you'll see, you'll see if you're a part of Lavish Love to Your Honey. But y'all are about to hear this conversation. Get into it. Me and Theomonye. Greetings, beloved one. Welcome back to another episode of Sensual Faith Podcast. So the podcast all about the art of coming home to your body. My name is LaVon Briggs and I am the host. And today I have a very special guest with me, the one, the only, Theomonye. Yay,
we did it.
We did it. All things in divine timing. Period. That's how we move over here. That's all. You know, whenever I hear you talk, it's giving like New York. It's giving like Boricua. It's giving and like, what is this accent of yours?
How many of y'all is in there?
Right. It's a lot of y'all in there.
It's a lot of us in there. I have no idea. Like, I think, so I'm from LA, born and raised.
Okay.
You know, Inglewood gang, Connect gang, Connect gang, bang, 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 all that.
Bang, bang, right?
But my mother's from Maryland.
So okay.
I did grow up hearing her. And then my father is from Panama. He's Afro-Panamanian.
Okay.
So you see, it's like it's a nice little help mix of, you know, bureau, drawer, Maryland. And then, you know, Panama.
Yes.
You know, canal zone. Da, da, da.
Okay. Ashe. Amen. Okay. That
makes a little bit of Cali. Got it. Makes it a little bit of Cali. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Because my dad's sister, her son's father, so my cousin's dad, it was Panamanian. Mm-hmm. And so he looked Black, but he would just be speaking Spanish.
All the time.
And I'd be looking at him like.
They look Black. They speak beautiful Spanish. But when they're just talking in English, it's Caribbean. It's a Caribbean accent you hear. You know, they don't sound like they have a Latin accent. They sound like they have a Caribbean accent, unless they're speaking Spanish.
Wow.
And it's also like this undertone too, to like Central American Black folks. Like it's got like a burnt orange, you know, it's kind of like it's got like a little maroon to it. Like, I'd be like, where is it? Cuba?
Mm-hmm. Something's coming through.
Something
poking through.
Yeah, you know.
In New Orleans, they say orange. That's how they say orange.
There is a little orange to it though. Sometimes it's like a burnt orange.
I'm screaming. Yes, it's the diaspora for me, honestly, truly. That's what it's giving. Okay. All right, darling ones, for the uninitiated, tell the people who you are.
My name is Thea Mongyang. I do a lot of things, but mainly I'm here to usher in change, transformation through joy, pleasure, and decolonization. Whatever forms that takes. The more I think about it, every time I give myself a title, I defy it or I
get
out of it. So I've just,
I am here
to be a force for change and transformation through joy, pleasure, and decolonization. That's all I know. You can call it whatever you want for that.
And it's going to be what it's going to be. But you know this trend of identifying yourself with three descriptors. So when I first got out of grad school, I was preacher, poet, educator.
It's still like, especially when you're doing like a website or something like that, they have So it's like, you know, so then I put Oya first because now I'm like, Oya, if you know Oya, then you really only need to look at these other slashes. But
who is Oya? Who is Oya?
So that's Oya. Oya is the natural force, spiritual force for change, transformation, rebirth, redistribution of power, cycle, seasons, you know. She's that mother that doesn't let you get away with using less than your potential. She'd rather snatch it from you than have you waste it. She will move anything out of your path to get you to where you need to be. So I always describe it like this. Okay, so you have, you know, Oshun is, you know, the first.
Let's back up for folks who may not know which spiritual tradition we're talking about.
You know, you're right.
Let's pull back just a little bit.
You could.
If they follow me, they know. They've heard these names.
I'm about to say, they know you. But you're right.
Pero. This could be somebody's first episode of Central Faith Podcast.
You're right. So we want to just, like you said, the uninitiated. So I am a initiated Oya priestess in the Ifa tradition, which runs through my father's bloodline. And so
powerful.
I like to introduce people to these concepts in a way that's like, you know, I'm from Inglewood. Like, how would I have understood it pre coming into the consciousness about what Afro spirituality is?
How would any of us?
How would any of us, right? So when I talk to people about these mothers, and you know, there's Oya, Oshun, Yemaya, there's many. There's many. And then don't get into the ancestral mothers. That's a whole other realm. So we got that. But the first three people meet are usually Oya, Oshun, and Yemaya.
That,
you know, Oshun. Yemaya is the first mother. You sleep in bed. You know, it's time to get up and get on with your life and your destiny. And so Yemaya comes in there. It's like, sweetie, hey.
Wake up.
Mama loves you. Time to wake up. You know, the world needs you. And, you know, I know it was a hard day, but, you know, we're going to move on and we're going to keep going. And so that's like, you know, Yemaya closes the door, wait till you don't get up. So here comes Oshun. Oshun's like, listen, if you get up, I'm going to give you this treat. You know what I'm saying? There's so much beauty out here. People is waiting for you. Use a star. What are you doing? Like, let's get up. You know, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to make your favorite breakfast. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be joyful. It's going to be beautiful. Da, da, da. And so you go. You know, Oshun leaves hoping that you get up out of bed because all of them know who's the last mama that's going to come in the store. And it's going to be Oya. She don't even open the door. The shit just blows open and she snatches them covers off. And she's like, get your ass out of bed because you got shit to do.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Like getting up at church when you were a kid. Right. Getting up at church Sunday morning. You'd be like, I'm just resting my eyes.
I'm just resting my eyes. But the world awaits. And so people don't always like that mama, but they need that mama because if not, your potential, your destiny, your reason for even being here sits and rots. And that is like absolutely unimaginable.
That's the word I was thinking.
Yeah, that's like, that to me, when people, I don't have many fears. I don't have many, I don't operate that way. But the thought, something that gets under my skin is the thought of a wasted destiny.
Ooh.
A wasted potential. That's what drives me to do what I do every day for folks. It's not literally, you know, all the other stuff aside, like I can't stand to see something in somebody. And when you're a child of voyeur, you see it. You can see a person's thing.
Yeah.
And you see it and you just see like, if I could just get through this and I can cut through this and I can move. Uh-huh. And then I get to see that thing come to full fruition in that
right. person.
And that is my joy. My joy yes. is seeing the full thing. You see that all the time in the work that you do, to watch the thing, whether we yes. all realize it or not, we all are working for voyeur. So on some level, if we are moving people from point A to point B, you are working with the energy of voyeur.
Right. I think integrating Oya into my sermon about Jesus napping in the belly of the boat and then they were on the lake and like a wave started coming. It was like, there are no waves on a lake. So clearly there was another force that was present.
Beautiful.
And I also argue that Jesus wasn't napping, but was meditating, was communing, right? And they thought he was asleep. And so how we bring together all of this ancient and indigenous wisdom to really centralize this African text in an African spiritual context, right? And say, this stuff got stripped away from us, y'all.
Yeah. I would say Jesus was an amazing babalawo. I remember
absolutely
told me that was like, Jesus is a great babalawo. Like when you think about the number of times Jesus went to nature, when you think about the actual language, one of my favorite examples is when they dragged Mary Magdalene out and was like, look at what she been doing.
Right.
Like, well, what you been doing? But they were trying to get Jesus caught up in some bullshit law that they was trying to.
Right.
And instead, Jesus said nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Which we know in our practice. Instead, what did he do? He kneeled down and began to draw lines in the sand. If you've ever done an Ifad divination,
come on.
What do you see before the babalawo?
Wow.
First of all, the babalawo doesn't say, I say. The babalawo will always say, Ifa says.
Ifa says.
Second, will kneel down. And is seated with the opun, with the irosun powder, like Jesus knelt in that sand. And so before Jesus knew what to say to them, he had to consult.
He had to consult. He had the divine on these niggas.
The divine. And then stood up and said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, right? So he had to call down the wisdom of Ifa, the wisdom of God.
Yes.
So that's another example of why Jesus wasn't in Africa.
Right. The first time that I heard Jesus.
They were doing that.
Right. They were doing that. And I heard a sermon from a pastor where he preached, what white man do you know out in nature to speak into mountains?
Come on.
That was an African man. That was an African man out there talking to mountain. And our beloved connection, Ebony Janice Moore, hip hop womanist scholar, who we stand, who connected us. She has expressed that she believes Jesus was an expression of Obatala on the earth. And I was like, that makes sense to me. The dove, right? The white.
There's a thousand examples.
Yeah.
Of if you really are trying to break down the text. And you're willing to see it through a non-white, cis-hetero Christian lens.
Correct.
If you look at it as just a text, as just data, as just information, you will see very clearly African spirituality practiced by Jesus Christ the entire time he was on this planet.
The whole time. That's so important, because I see the difference when I work in churches with little Black kids and I tell them Jesus is Black, and when I give them little coloring pages or when I did when I was a youth pastor, and they like, where's brown? And I'm like, yes, I did it. My work here is
done.
I'm leaving the church. No, for real. I did leave the church after that. But I'm thinking about the generation of Black youth and who they will be and who they are becoming simply because they are not worshiping white gods.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, because all of it has, when we come to it, no matter what it was intended to be, it has the potential to be better than it was and has the potential to access and integrate what we come from. So if we have children being raised in the church now knowing about a Black Jesus, but also, let's be clear about this, a Jesus that revered and lived in harmony and stewardship to nature, right? That so we have children now who know that their Black identity is tied to major, massive amounts of spiritual power and to nature.
Period.
That generation raising and communing in large groups and congregations is very powerful.
Yeah.
Much more powerful than the ones that came just before them.
Talk a bit about your dance with spirituality as a mother and passing that on. What does that look like? What does spiritual practice look like as a mom and for your children and among your children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was raised Christian, but I wasn't raised, you know, like deep church.
Okay.
So I was raised, you know, to know Jesus, to know the Bible stories. All the schools that I went to were oriented towards Christianity. Mm-hmm. But in my household, we weren't religious.
Okay. Did you hear messages about like sex before marriage is evil and hell and stuff like that or not really?
I didn't know. You know,
okay,
I didn't.
That's great.
I know it's rare. I am black. But I just want to clarify. You can't see me right now. And this accent is a little confusing. I really think about that and the space and permission that I had to, and that's not necessarily that they introduced me to new ideas, it's that they didn't stop me from having them, or prevent me from having them, right? So they didn't necessarily have it themselves to introduce it, but they didn't restrict me either. And I was a very imaginative kid. And I think through nurturing my imagination, which was my first real spirituality, you know, even as a person, as an Ifa practitioner, I have a very close relationship with Jesus because I just broke that down basically.
Here. Right.
Like, why? Because I've always attuned to that aspect of Jesus. I just didn't understand the version that other people were describing to me. Mm-hmm. So I raised my kids with the same type of like openness. And it wasn't until Ifa that I really began to feel like, okay, let me like actively teach them about something, right? Because I wasn't sure what I wanted them to be dilly and dallying in or what. I wasn't even walking. I was walking in good character. I was walking in being a good human. I was walking in relationship with nature, but I didn't have the definition or the parameters.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I travel quite a bit. So I love that my kids know how to, you know, take care of my shrines. I know that I'll come out. My daughter will be like, I gave Eshu some coffee that, they'll be like, oh, it's the first of the month. We got to get the flowers for the ancestors. Like that this is like now the embodiment. And so even just the fact that I have teenagers who know Obatala, Oshun, Orumala, Eshu, who have, like that is, think about where we were.
Yeah.
And like they're light years ahead.
Right.
Still, you know, they explore because in our lineage, we're also as women, you know, brujaria, you know, what people call witchcraft, nature, magic, all that is natural to us.
Yep.
So I haven't even said to them, you know, you practice Ifa, but I've introduced the world of nature and Afro spirituality, and they're carving their own thing. Like, you know, some are more attuned to the moon. Some are more attuned to, you know, tarot. Some are more attuned. I mean, I got a lot of children's. I got three. I'm acting all dramatic. But I got three. All my children's. So, you know, and that is like nurturing that is about one, trusting their intuition. So some of it isn't even about like, what practice is it? It's like you have young children, teaching them to trust their gut.
Ooh, girl.
Is a spiritual practice. Not questioning their choices in a way that undermines their sovereignty and authority. This is Akilah Etheridge, right? With Fair the Free Child. And this is the work of unschooling, right? And so, like, I have a daughter right now, my oldest. I know for a fact her soul will not feel content until she goes to Paris. And so we are all looking at how do we make that happen for her? Because it's not school for her. It's not this career path for her. she will know the next step in her life once she gets there.
Jesus.
And she's been adamant about that since 4 years old.
Come on.
So the cure to what ails her in this moment is to give her what her soul says it needs.
Good
and
God.
To let her know that she's not the only one who is behind that, but that right. all of us have a stake in your destiny.
My goodness. This is very much giving the healing wisdom of Africa with our ancestor, Malidoma Patrice Somme, where it's like this being comes, this returned ancestor is here with a destiny and a purpose. Mm. And it is the community's job and responsibility Absolutely. To see, affirm, and invest in that destiny. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because your daughter going to Paris is going to crack open something wide for
us. Something. And all of us, and what relationship then looks like is, how do we each do that for each other? So a couple months ago, I was like, you know, these labels aren't working for me, like mother, wife, you know, I don't feel this.
Right.
I said, because to me, that focuses me on what society says I should be doing
Correct.
As opposed to what is our soul agreement? Why you and why me? So I went around and I asked each one in my family, why do you think us? What am I here to teach you? And what are you here to teach me? And the way my kids was able to be like, oh, I was your mother in another life. And I was here to teach you this. And I'm here to teach you this. And another one was like, I'm here to teach you good about money. And that. And so what happened is I released the social pieces so that I could focus on the soul agreement.
Wow.
So now I feel more effective in these relationships because the priority is not how do you behave as a wife? What are you offering as a mother? The priority is am I meeting the soul agreement though?
Right.
That's what matters, you know?
It does. And you know that you are getting closer to the soul agreement because it will terrify you. You are like, I am going to say this thing out loud and this sounds wild and big and scary, but this is it. And I know it's true. And every time I say it, even if, you know, I got to stammer my way through, like it happens. And so I love that because it's so grand.
It's so grand and it's so elegantly simple. It simplifies your life, right? Like bringing it down to the soul agreement means, oh, so I don't have to like make you happy every day, cut your crust off your peanut butter and jelly, none of that shit. That's like cool if I feel like doing it. But really what I'm here to do is this. And it simplifies because the world complicates, you know, it makes things like bureaucratic. Just loving someone can feel bureaucratic. Like what forms do I fill out and what boxes
do I right.
Like to love, right? When it's really the simple like acceptance of what is and the choice to nurture that. And so a lot of us opt out of these relationships and these love and loving and all this stuff because it's gotten too bureaucratic and complicated. When really, what is the soul agreement? Can we agree to that's why we're here and that anything else we create is a byproduct of that, but it is not required.
Right. And when I think about the soul agreement and moments in your life that feel just so deeply aligned with it, what do those moments feel like for you when it's just like a full body yes? What does that feel like in your body?
You know, the word that came to mind was levitation. I feel light. And for a Black woman in this world, that's saying a lot, to feel light. So I feel like I levitate. And I know close to that is I elevate, but the levitation is important because, you know, this Black femme body can come with weight on it.
Well,
and that ain't bad, you know.
I mean, period.
We don't get into the sensuality pieces, but imagine having now that lovely curvy weight with and floating, right?
Yeah, right?
Exactly. You see that?
How does that feel?
That is like eating a cupcake, like biting. it's that. Like, and I think that joy and that pleasure comes from, I said yes to me, I trusted me, and this is the sweet outcome of that because I did it in spite of a world that tells me not to every day.
Right.
And when the little red hen went to do that, nobody was following the little red hen. But
not little redhead.
Little redhead.
Screaming.
My mom used to always say that. But, you know, nobody wanted to listen, you know. But you have to follow what you hear, because often we are leading something. So, no, you're not going to see somebody ahead of you doing it. And you're not going to have a million people around you telling you this is the right thing to do, because it's new and it's revolutionary and it's Afrofuturistic and it's never been seen before, never been done before, which is why you got to do it anyway.
Yep.
Which is why you got to do it anyway. And then you get to enjoy that feeling.
Nobody asked you for a message, okay, on today, confirming.
Well, I just thought I was coming here to meet with you, and my expectations were
it's the easeful channel for me. Spirit was just like, pew, just like, let me just drop this off real quick. And like, for listeners, I need y'all to know that's how it is, because sometimes people come and they're like, well, how do you know when Spirit's talking to you? How do you know when your ancestors? And it's like these messages. You're talking to someone and the conversation pinpoint something you were just talking about 2 days ago, or you're reading something or a song, or you just happen to turn on the radio and the lyrics are just what you need. Like, it's in the everyday little idiosyncrasies. Yeah. And confirmations. And so that's why I think sensuality is so important, because for me, I define sensuality as the ultimate experience of mindfulness, just being present to what's happening, right? And so you got to slow down. You got to pay attention. You got to go in. You got to tune in. That's what sensuality is to me. So I'm curious, how do you define sensuality?
I think I define sensuality as, I know the word sovereign comes up for me very strongly when I think about sensuality. So it's the sovereignty to say and feel with your whole being, with every cell currently with you and every cell you've ever occupied since the beginning of time.
Oh my.
Yes. Right? That my yes comes with all of that.
Right.
And so sensuality is when I allow that to fully exist in myself.
Yeah.
That full yes, like I said, every cell you've ever occupied since the beginning of the time, every cell you currently occupy, you're taking up all the space that you were designed and destined to cover. And then you can feel it and enjoy every single particle of it with your yes.
Yes.
That is what it feels like to me to be in my sensuality. Like I'm entitled to every inch of this feeling and this moment. Like I want even the skin cells on my fingertips. I want those to be filled with feeling. And what you said earlier about the messaging, that ties into sensuality so much for me, because if you can't feel, you're going to miss the messages. They're happening all the time. So I'll notice like when I'm talking and the wind picks up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, mom, you saying go through. I'm about to go in right here because she done told me. Yes.
Yeah.
I notice the birds when they're talking, when they're not talking, when they're visiting me, when they're not visiting me. I notice water, how it's moving, if it's still. Like knowing and then feeling, right, interacting with, engaging with it is literally how we're supposed to be moving through the world. Because the conversation never stops. The universe is constantly talking to you.
Yep.
The question is not, are you listening with your ears, but the sensuality, are you listening with all of you?
Yes.
That's what you just, piece.
Well, here's what you just sparked in me, right? So if the universe is all of creation and all of creation is good, then we are co-creators with the creator. And so tapping in to your sensuality is a creative process. It is a
1,000%, because the universe is not done creating.
Always creating.
Still creating, right. Yeah.
Always expansive. Mm-hmm. And this is why I love this shift, because as painful as the pandemic has been, the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, with the loss of time and connection and all of that, it forced us to slow down. And I think many people started to see the scam of capitalism because they were like, all the overtime hours, all the happy hours, the networking, the corner office did not stop this. Not and so we're shifting from this hyper productivity to, where's my creative flow?
Yeah.
And it's like, we're just coming back, I feel like, to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. I think that, and just in time, because we're shifting dimensions. So if you
talk about it
now, then you will be stuck in this dimension while the rest of us have moved on to the next one. I mean, that's cool. I mean, it ain't no, you know, you can,
for you and your house. As for me and my house,
as for me and my house,
ascension. Right?
Yeah, ascension. As we ascend with the universe. The universe is on its fifth dimension, right? So it's going into its. So you know, you want to be aligned with that.
Yeah,
and the dreams that Oya gave me pre-pandemic. Have only confirmed everything that, so everything I'm doing is that I'm doing because of what she showed me about the overall outcome of not just this pandemic, but what else is to come. That, so if it is literally those who have ears, let them hear. That is the time that we are in. This is our last chance to get those who are not attuned. This is very serious right now. I mean, we do it in a joy-centered way because that's how we live.
Right.
But don't mistake joy for weakness and don't mistake it for a lighthearted thing. It is
right.
It is the work. And it is to get people to hear again with their whole being. Because when that shift is, as that shift is happening, if you can't hear it, you can't go. So the invitation is not coming through Instagram. It ain't even coming to your house in the mail. It will be coming to you in your dreams, at your altar. Here's the thing. If you are still in this capitalist bubble where you don't trust yourself, and you don't believe your dreams, hear your people. If you are still in that bubble, then you are going to hear it and you are going to decide, oh, I must have made that up. Or that wasn't real.
Gaslighting yourself.
You're going to be afraid to take the step. Yeah. And the location is undisclosed, my nigga. You got to walk. You got to walk until you get there. And or swim or whatever it takes. And so this is the time where you're going to be doing the thing before you know what the thing is.
Yep.
I don't care what it is Spirit tells you to do. The other day, Spirit told me I need a pink journal. So I was like, all right. Yeah, I don't know what these pink. I don't know why pink. I don't know why these journals, but it was like, get these pink journals. Got it. Bet. Let's roll. What's next?
Right. Because it'll come. The clarity, the realization, the aha.
And you have to practice just listening.
Right.
Just doing the thing. What is it going to hurt you to get the pink journals? What's that? How's that going to hurt you?
Right.
Get the pink journals and then see what's next, you know? But you. It, the next big thing could be, here's $10 million. But
period. If you didn't
do the pink journals that led to the $10 million.
Right. The $10 million ain't there.
Then you ain't getting the $10 million there. You just won't get it.
Oh, because it exists, honey.
Because it exists. It exists because you didn't get it.
Right. So was the book a part of the dream? Your book?
Ah, I love that book so much. But in Bahareke was... It was in the 2020. It wasn't part of it. It's so funny. Just before the pandemic, I took my daughters to Panama. And it was such an amazing experience to take them. Yeah. I had been before, but to take them and know that they had done something that took me twice as long to do in half the time, right? It was just
powerful.
And one of the best moments was the San Blas Islands. Off the, I think the Pacific side, I could be wrong, but of Panama, you can get a little boat out there and they'll take you out. There's like 365 islands out there. But what you don't know is that the spirit is so perfect. Nature is so perfect that these people who would live on these islands used to be able to walk to each other through the ocean.
What?
So there are these natural pools that exist within. Now you, from the shore, this is about to be deep because this is going to do something to our brains together.
Okay.
But from the shore, when you look out at the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean, you cannot, you think that the whole ocean is too deep for you to step into. for you to stand in. But because you didn't go out, what you don't know is that there are divinely oriented spaces for you to stand
in
the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and not just see things from the shore,
but
to see things from within.
Come on. So oh my God.
Because you're too afraid or because you make your assumptions about what is out there
from
the shore without the context of actually putting yourself out there, you don't know that where you're really supposed to be is in there.
In it.
And that there are places that have already been prepared for you.
Baby.
Stand there. Not to swim, not to struggle, but to stand there.
Listen,
you don't know that.
Theomoye, there is a scripture where Jesus is walking on water and Peter's in the boat and he's looking at Jesus walk on the water. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, come on, Peter. Come on, my nigga, let's go. Mm-hmm. So Peter steps out of the boat and he's walking on water. And then the scripture says, he was good until he saw the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, how do you see wind?
Mm-hmm.
You can't see the wind. You see things moving because of the wind. So we get so focused on the shit that's being whipped around by the wind. We start looking at that, that we don't even realize, oh, we're not on a path no more.
And if you were in relationship with the wind, you would know that that was confirming your choice to step out in the first place.
If you had a relationship with the wind.
If you had a relationship with the wind, which you would know, there were moments, again, pre-pandemic, there would be entire dreams where y'all would have me sitting in the middle of a hurricane and and telling me the whole time, control your breath. Don't focus on what's going around. Just control your breath.
Yeah.
And so, again, if you had a relationship with the wind.
Right. So this
change with transformation, with rebirth, right?
It says breathe. It's on my forearm because let me get in the mic. I have a tattoo on my left forearm that says breathe because when I'm stressed or something, I'm activated in a particular way, my breath is usually the first thing to go.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite Oracle card decks, the Moon deck, one of the cards says the rhythm of my breath directs the rhythm of my life.
That's what Dr. Crystal Jones says. Dr. Crystal Jones says, if you don't have a relationship with your breath, she says your relationship with your breath mirrors all the other relationships in your life.
Oh, yes.
This is the thing this that sustains you. Oh, yeah, it's the first and the last breath. Right?
Period.
Let's bring it all together. Octavia Butler, Parable of the Sower.
Ashe.
Right?
Yep.
Change. Everything we touch, we change. Everything we change changes us. Change is God.
Mm-hmm. Change is God.
God is change.
God is change.
You don't have a relationship with change. What is you doing? You are not evolving. You are not growing. You are not moving. You are dead. That's the only things that don't grow. Without you thinking about it, your fingernails and your hair grow. After you're dead, your fingernails and your hair grow. So if you don't have a relationship with change, if you're not comfortable with it, if you haven't embraced it, you are dead in some capacity, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the only things that don't grow.
Right.
Are dead things.
Right.
Because it's that innate, right? So going to taking them to Panama is what ushered in. I had a conversation with my grandfather there. He's he's an ancestor.
Ashe.
When I brought them to his gravesite, I heard him sigh. And I felt him breathe. And I realized he didn't know if we would ever come.
Oh my God.
When I went to his wife, my grandmother's gravesite, where my dad starts talking and telling stories about her, and the Bahareke comes. The book is called Blood and Bahareke. Bahareke is like it's between dew and rain, you know, in a lot of tropical
countries,
feel like this, like soft. It's not raining on you.
Right.
Looks like a blessing. It looks like a blessing, right? And so she started that, and I was recording, and through the recording, I can send it to you. It looks like diamonds are sprinkling down on my children. And so I came back and I literally downloaded the entire outline, but then everything hit the fan, right?
Yeah.
COVID, da, da, da. I completely forgot, you know, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, we were in the midst of everything. And our work got swept up for many of us in that. And it was like November when I was in a bathtub and I was sick. And I was pouting. And I said, I didn't even get to write this year. That's how I was pouting. And my aunt said, it's your fault you didn't write. And I was like, well, you know, I wanted to, but you know, I've been trying to publish through these means and, you know, you're not, you know, feeling me. They said, that's because we didn't tell you how to write. We said, just write, like write. Yeah. You're the one telling yourself you have to write a certain kind of way. And that's why you're not writing.
Mm-hmm.
From that day, the next day, when I went to my computer, of course, you know how we do us writers. We have half written, partially written, one sentence written shit. So I'm like, look what I have in here. I came across Blood and Bahareke. And the next 30 days, they woke me up at 5 a.m. every day. Ebony Denise is my witness. Every morning. And they just channeled. Because a lot of what's in there, I didn't know. I wasn't even born. I was a child. But my grandfather began to talk to me. And all of, and Mother Mary showed up from my mother's side. And then Nathan Day showed up. And then, you know, so like they were all just, their stories started to come through.
And that you calling these names. I had to look back at my ancestral candle. I was like, it's jumping over there, child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, so I always had co-authored this book with them because, I mean, the things that happened during the course of this book is a whole nother conversation. Just the things that happened, the book turning out to look like, when they gave me the vision of what the book had to look like, my great-grandmother's hymnal. I didn't, I had lost that hymnal years ago. Turned out my mom had it. And so I held the two together and I was like, how would I have that from her when I was like 8 or 9, you know?
Yeah.
Just so many beautiful things that they open up. So I always tell people, they're like, what is it? Is it poetry? I was like, it's a hymnal. And it's a portal because they're very clear that this is a pathway to help other people to tap into their ancestral data. We want them to open their cells and to add, to read the canon that's there, but then to contribute to the canon as well, right? So I didn't even know that the book, the way they organized it, again, this is stuff I couldn't have thought out. When you sit down and write out a book, you can't think this way.
Right.
It's earth, water, fire, air.
Right.
The sections break down, earth, water, fire, air. It ends at 45 pieces. 4 + 5 = 9. 9 is Oya. It does that all throughout the book, has those kind of connections.
That is so powerful. I am moved to tears now because the power and magic and force of you, just being you, and the way that you have laid out this paternal ancestral work, it's where I am now. It's why Spirit has me in New Orleans, because there are deep, deep connections that I'm learning about between New Orleans and Guyana. Mm-hmm. And I just got the name of one of my paternal ancestors. And I'm like, who is Robert Briggs? I don't know, no Robert. Yeah. What are you? And so because I'm estranged from my dad's side of the family, it's like, they're like, now you're ready. Like that's you have the tools in place to come talk to us, to come be with us. Yes. So the fact that Panama is in Central America and Guyana is in South America, it feels like your people got to my people.
That's it.
To come to me. And so I'm just really grateful.
Listen, and that's exactly how, that makes me, now you got to have me up here cutting up. And let me tell you that, because I was part of what I talk about in that book, what we talk about, is that I didn't know anything about my dad's side of the family outside of the ones I had here in America. I had never been to Panama until I was never been. I had, you know, I grew up around that Caribbean accent when I was very young, but early in school, that was kind of taken, stripped down. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of them moved away and I didn't have a lot of contact with them. And so in my mind, my grandfather's story was one of abuse and alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And being an American, I just accepted that as what just, I think the words I use is, the only thing I knew, I think the language I use in the book is like, the only thing I knew about you was a title written on my father's spine. You are a book on a shelf that I never read, you know? And I never, until I heard him sigh, I never thought of his side of the story ever. The assumptions I made about him, his relationship with my grandmother, about so many things, had locked me out of. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Yvonne. This is what's going to really get you.
Mm-hmm.
One, they're the ones who brought me to Ifa because it runs through that lineage. So the first thing that Babalawo told me was you have to pay homage to your paternal ancestors. Name them. And I couldn't. And I talk about that, the shame I felt, right? That I couldn't. Then the first Ebo I had done, that night, I dream of them. They told me, you go to Panama, you have an inheritance waiting for you. They have never shown up, never talked, nothing, right?
Wow.
I said, Dad, we got to go.
Yeah.
Last oldest living ancestor, my elder at that time, he was 96.
Wow.
He's exactly 60 years older than me.
Mm.
I met him. I sat with him. I talked to him. I got his stories. And he died 3 months later.
My God.
This is. And so my grandfather is a powerful priest. Powerful priest. And was manipulated and then felt, never forgave himself for the way he was manipulated and then became overprotective about it. So he didn't teach his children any of this.
Oh, wow.
But he is the one you meet before you meet me most of the time. And kind of acquainted me with the fact that I come from a lineage of priests.
Mm-hmm.
Him leading up to him being one of the strongest. On my mom's side, they're the women priestesses. So it's like, but I say all that to tell you that it's something about that estrangement, right? That is in and itself an indication of something, a powerful knowing or a powerful misunderstanding or that break because there's richness.
Yeah.
I mean, riches upon the inheritance I've gathered from that experience is immeasurable.
Yeah.
Yashe. When I tell you that we have actually healed, there's a story in the book about healing that grandfather in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Because before he could pass on his yashe to me, he had to heal. So we do a ritual where I talk about it, 300 priests from both sides of my lineage. Now here's how powerful it is. My mom's side, my mom and my dad are divorced. They barely. But the lineages came
together. The lineages. Yep.
Okay. And had to symbolically place this baby in the water to be reborn as my grandfather's innocence. 3 days later, my nephew was born in call, completely in water.
Uh-oh.
Completely in water. 3 days after I did that spiritual work with my grandfather. Now, mind you, in that spiritual work, I want people to understand, this was pre-initiation. And this was, and this was just in meditation. I didn't actually use any physical thing.
Wow.
This whole thing took place in my meditation with them. The power of what we can do with them.
Yeah.
The relationship. I'm so excited for you. It gets me so.
Thank you.
We love to see it. We love to see it. And I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your face. Oh, baby. You know, it's the difference between. This is the first time I think I've said this publicly, but I used to think I was the priestess. But I am the thing the priestess makes the space for. You understand? And the difference in that understanding has come through the relationship and understanding and ashe of my ancestors.
Right.
Because I couldn't walk as well, y'all, without them. But again, we're unlearning.
We're
unlearning the smallness, right? So you first come into the stuff and you're just like, am I doing this right? Is this water okay? You know, oh my God, I don't want to upset anybody. You know, you start
screaming. It's the voice.
You know what I'm saying? And then you get to a point where you're like, look, you know what I'm saying? Like, we together now. We love each other. You know, you know what you like, boo. I got you. It's your favorite gin. I got you. And it gets a little bit more comfortable, you know? Then you, when you switch into the priesthood, your initiative, it's like, then you're like, you're not obeying the laws. You're helping to make them. You are
a co-creator.
You are a co-creator with spirit, like on a really different level. And then you actually understand that you are the thing.
Right.
Right. And so, baby, that's what I say. Like, exciting. This is going to
be. It is. This is thrilling.
What you're going to look like in a year. You can't. There's no way. Don't even try, please, to save yourself the choice, because my life gets undone on a daily basis.
Okay, and I'm turning 40 this year. I'll be in Barbados. Don't even start.
We're going to talk after. So Barbados is where my dad's family was from before Panama.
Nigga.
But also, there's a book I'm going to have to send you.
Oh, Lord.
If you're ready for it, I'll pin
you. I'm ready.
Make sure I'm not sending you no stuff I ain't supposed to be sending you. I'll pin you first. But there's a book, and Ifa, but it's about the ancient mothers. And and they talk about 40 is when you, that for me, it was when it, like, that's when our power turns on.
Yep. I feel it.
When it turns on.
I feel that shit.
The difference between me pre 40 and me, like, it's a very big difference.
I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, beloved. Yeah.
When's the birthday?
August 7th.
Oh, you as a motherfucking Leo like me, bitch. I should have known with your shot ass. I love it.
When's your birthday?
July 30th.
Okay. Very cool. Mm-hmm. I am a Leo's Leo through and through.
I love it. And no apologies. And that's all.
That was a complete sentence.
That was a complete sentence.
I'm definitely going to have you back for part two. I feel like I am going to do an episode on your book, Blood and Bahareke. And then we'll come back and have you take a deep dive with us, because that is a sacred text, clearly.
Sacred text. We got work to do.
And
it's on sale right now, too, actually.
Okay. So I'll definitely include a link to that. And then how can the people keep in touch with you?
Well, several ways. So one, TheaMoye.com. Also, we have a text community to sprinkle some joy into your life once
a week.
To disrupt any negativity you're having. We just want to dispel it and disrupt it. And so you can choose if you want to be an alchemist or a seeker every week. Take an adventure with us. And so the text line is by texting SACRED in all caps to 213-377-1827. When you purchase Blood and Bahareke, you automatically become a part of our whole Da Sacred community. So sometimes in that community, we have little virtual gatherings to talk about stuff in the books, talk about ancestral inheritance, talk about magic in the mundane, talk about how to hold a sacred, all these different conversations. And so most everything you can find at TheAmoye.com, and I'm on Instagram at TheAmoye.
Love it. Y'all be sure to go follow the Ammonia and grab the book so that when I do the Central Faith podcast episode on the book, you can read along with me.
Yeah, let's
and do all
it.
The things.
I'll be so
and I'm so excited.
And honored.
Period. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. We did it.
This is our first time, like, in real time.
I know. It'll be more.
Face to face.
It takes, I think it's because Leos, we can, but you know. We're like a solar eclipse that has to like line up. But once that shit
we out here.
We is out here.
Period. I love you. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Y'all. Thank y'all so much for listening or watching. If you're watching this, go in peace, go in power, go in pleasure. Be well, beloved ones. Mm-hmm. And if it's not well, it's not the end. And remember, faith should feel good. Peace, y'all.
I love that.
Did I not tell you? Did I not tell you that this is a robust ass woman? I mean, spiritually, culturally, intellectually, humorly, I just made up a word, but tenderly, the fact that I burst into tears during this interview tells you how comfortable I was and how special Thea Monier is. And if you don't leave with anything from this conversation, honey, baby, you are sovereign. I don't care what they did, what they said, how they tried to manipulate, how they tried to use, abuse, coerce, shut down, silence. You are sovereign. And Jesus was a babalao. Y'all, I am so grateful for you. Thank you for being a part of the Central Faith journey as I am continuing to unfold to what's next. You know, we talked about this last episode. People keep saying, what's next? What's next, girl? When I know, I will let y'all know. Not right away, but you're going to know. I promise. And this time of year is always tender for some folks. And so in the coming weeks, when weddings are happening and baby announcements and Mother's Day, you know, all of that. Be gentle with yourself. Put down the phone. Turn on your favorite Netflix series or Hulu or Abbott Elementary or child, the writer's strike, Jesus. What is we gonna do without Abbott Elementary? We stand with WGA writers, though. Y'all need to be paying these writers their money, Hollywood. Pay the people. Pay them what you owe them. Don't act like you forgot. And if you, too, would like to partake in the active, vibrant, reciprocal nature of abundance and engage in energy exchange, you can absolutely give a one-time donation to me. I am on Zelle, lavon.briggs@gmail.com, PayPal, lavon.briggs@gmail.com, Cash App, $PastorBae, that's PASTORBAE, and Venmo is at Lavon Briggs. So yeah, y'all. Continue to love up on yourselves. Stay tuned for updates. Go do something that brings you joy today. Honor your capacity. Get a reading. Take a spiritual bath. Read your Bible. Listen to gospel. Journal. Pray. Meditate. Do yoga. Sit in front of your altar. Dance naked in the mirror. Take a bath. Drink some tea. Watch the sunrise or set, honey, because you know we ain't all early risers. But I love y'all so much. Thank you for being here. I'll see you next episode. Go in peace, go in power, go in pleasure. Be well, beloved ones. And if it's not well, it's not the end. And remember, faith should feel good. Peace, y'all.